Good evening, everybody. Welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show and IFL Talk. We're normally here on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. We had some technical difficulties last night to make last night's show not happen. So we're actually stealing time on another channel as I'm still having problems in ours. So I don't have my intro music for my co-host, but he is here. Corey Bethany, how are you doing tonight, Corey?
What's up, Sonny? What's going on?
Having some technical difficulties on our regular channel. However, we are able to get up online here on one of my friends' channels so we can talk about the IFL. We wanted to talk last night, and I just didn't even think of me. Maybe I should have just called and did it on his channel. But we're here tonight to talk about some of the things that have been going on as far as the IFL. That's what we do, IFL Talk. Make sure you check us out. Normally, again, on Tuesday night, 10 p.m., so check that out. But let's go over the standings really quick as we get started here. In the United Conference, the Chicago Slaughter have a half-game lead right now over the Cedar Rapids Titans and Sioux Falls Storm. Chicago is 7-4, Cedar Rapids and Sioux Falls both at 6-4. Green Bay Blizzard are 4-5, and the Texas Revolution are 4-6. Colorado Ice, 6-3 on the season right now in the lead in the intense conference, followed by Nebraska at 6-4, Tri-Cities 4-6, and Wyoming 1-8 as a regular. And what I think I'm finding really amazing so far as the standings are concerned is what we're seeing in the Fever. The Fever, you know, they're beginning to pick things up. It might be a little too late in order to do so. However, they're only two games behind, so that might be a situation where we might be talking about the Fever going into the last week of the season there, Corey.
Yeah, everybody thought, you know, Nebraska and Colorado was going to take control of that division, that conference, and Fever's like, wait 1 minute. They got some things to say. So they won three in a row. They you know, getting consistent quarterback play. And, you know, got a big game coming up this week. So we'll see how serious they are and, you know about making a playoff push.
Yeah, the playoff push is going to be really interesting in the United Conference as well, as three teams have kind of moved out in front of them. The Texas Revolution did not help their cause last week by taking the loss in Chicago to improve them to 7-4, but Texas drops to 4-6, so they're going to have to fight the battle. Only four more games left to go in the season. They're still mathematically still in it, but it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Texas Revolution.
Yeah, you know, that's your home team, and
yep.
You know, I got them finishing up 4-10, so it may be a tough four games for them down the stretch in my eyes, but you know, Billy would get the team. They'll definitely be ready to play. I know that for a fact. So I hope they do get a couple of wins in, and you know,
let's go by the odds. 23%. Losses on the road for road teams, and three of the last four are at the Allen Event Center. So that's something to keep our eye on as far as Texas is concerned. Three or four at home. So depending on what happens this weekend, the games will definitely give an idea of where they're going to be, because they are on the bye week. And not a great week for the Texas Revolution to be on a bye, as other teams will be trying to move forward, especially those that are going to be coming up with the danger in the or the Fever in the Ice, depending on how the Fever do in that game, the Titans and the Blizzards, and then the Slaughter and the Storm. I mean, so before we know it, they could end up even being further behind, depending on what happens this week in this week's games. But last week was an interesting week as we saw the Danger take a loss, and I called this game. I couldn't, you know, it was. I won't say I couldn't believe it, but it was just one of those fluke things at the end of the game where a field goal was being lined up and it gets blocked and then taken in for the touchdown and the win for the Green Bay Blizzard. Danger, we're going for the win at that point, trying to kick that field goal for the win. I love those games, though. They keep you interested in all four quarters there, Corey.
Oh, yeah. I had the Blizzard. I picked them to win.
Yes, you did.
You know, we talked about the road games. But Blizzard, they playing good football right now. They playing good football. They're getting key plays by B.J. Hill. I mean, the quarterback, Spencer, he's making great plays. The defense is stepping it up. I'm going to say it. Danger haven't won a game without Tough. Defense looked totally different. I mean, they couldn't make the stops when they needed it the most. And, you know, they're 0-2 in the last two games. So, you know, they lost two in a row. So they got to get things turned around. And usually a home game would get them turned around. So I think they got a good matchup coming up to get that all situated.
Yeah, and they happen to be on the road next week. They're playing the Calvary, but they play them again the next week at home. So, but it's really interesting when you think about the number of losses on the road for the road teams this year and how that's actually working out. I just say, you know, and we've been talking about it as well over in our Facebook page over at IFL Players Meets Fans Group. Make sure you check it out. It's a place where everybody there, and we've been doing a lot of talking over in that group. That group has been getting a lot of talk about this week. And why don't we talk a little bit about some of the things that we are seeing over in the Facebook and what we're talking about. And I remember when we did our first show, you didn't want to talk, and I get it and I understand, you didn't want to talk about the officials. But, man, the fans in the group are really talking about the officials and what is happening on the football field as far as the officials are concerned.
Man, they're not getting better. And I don't think we have a system in place. I say we, but I don't think the IFL has a system in place to force them, for lack of a better word, to get better. I mean, if you can blow a call or make a call that everyone knows, you know, looking back on film, and, hey, man, that's a bad call. They can go home, sleep at night, and no one knows, you
right.
know. No, they're not held accountable. They'll make a bad play call, and the next home game they're out there officiating again. So, you know, it's something as a player and a coach you don't get wrapped up into. But man, it's a struggle. It's hard not to how bad and horrendous these IFL officials has been. I mean, I like to be nice. I like to be fair to people. But, I mean, it's just bad. It's just bad. It's ridiculous. And I put in the forum, on the Facebook page, in the group, since players get fined for wearing socks too high or different color socks or whatever it may be, coaches may get fined if they don't have the roster turned in by a certain time, or organization may get fined if they don't get the game film uploaded in the amount of time from the next day. All those things do help the league out. Why shouldn't the IFL ref get fined as well? I mean, Brian Wells, Coach Wells at the Texas Revolution put on one of the Facebook in the group, a play of roughing the passer going against Chicago. And it was obviously, I mean, if I would love to hear the official reasoning of why he called Russell, I would love to just hear that just for personal humor. But it was a bad call. He should be penalized for it somehow, some way. But he doesn't. Chicago win, you know. Not saying that that's the outcome of the game, but it was a turnover at the end result of that game, as opposed to first and 10 first and goal, Chicago. So that was a huge, huge, huge. We talked so much about turnovers in the game, and that was one taken away from Texas. And, you know, turnovers can determine a game. So he threw it way before he saw the fumble. So I'm not saying, you know, he saw the fumble and he threw it out there. But, it was just a bad call. It's just a bad call. And my thing is the refs are not being held accountable. If they are, I would love to hear how. I would love to hear, because I see them the next game right out there, you know, same positions, getting paid probably the same. So if they are, let it be known. Yes, you know, Major League Baseball, they suspend umps or whatever, what have you. But, man, I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
I think, Corey, you know, we talked about it earlier in this year. We saw an incident with the Chicago Blizzard and player personnel and things like that, whatever became of it. And those are the kind of things that are it's a negative onto the league, unfortunately. And when people complain about the referees and what's going on, it's a negative onto the league. Never mind all the other negative that is already surrounding the league as it is. The last thing that they're going to do is let it be known what's happening to the referees and what they are accountable for, what they're not, and what happens in certain situations. We don't get the press releases that these refs, this is what happened to them or anything like that. I don't think that's going to happen within the IFL. Rightfully so, I don't know. For the image of the league, yes, but as far as the fans, as far as the people that are in, I mean, and I made the comparison to that indoor football leagues, you know, fans, it's like a cult following. You know, you don't hear about the end of the scores up on ESPN. You're not going to hear, these are games that, you know, true fans want to know about, and they'll get the score from the website. So when something comes out. Exactly. So if something does come out, which we've seen in the AFL with the Chicago situation and the ownership up there, when it has hit the news and whatever's going on with the news, it hits in a negative. And the IFL is not a league that really can put up or have too many of those incidences where it's still going to draw the fan. The fan is going to get turned off from all the negative, and that probably is the reason why we don't find out about things. What is actually heard in a player gets released for a couple weeks, but we don't know why, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I see why they don't do it. It just hurts. It me as a fan wants to know, just like you do.
Sonny, I think it actually would help the league if they show some type of protocol in holding referees accountable. It would help the league, as showing it's not a Bush league, as some people would call it or whatever, you know. But I think it's showing initiative of recognizing the problem and trying to correct it the best that they, you know, they think they can. I think a lot of people would see that in their eyes and say, oh, you know, that's, hey, at least they're trying to do the right thing. But sitting back on your hands and letting it go on and on each year in, year out, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. That's why you can't do anything about it until they do anything about it. So I hate to really kind of, that's why I don't like talking about it, because they're not doing anything about it. It's something you got to live with, something you got to overcome.
Yep.
Some you can't focus on, but it's so hard when it's so obvious.
Yeah, it is. And in that game, that was actually a 21-point differential at that time. And it really did take the sails out of the Revolution, because they were able to get the turnover after the fumble, which in turn, they were going to be putting themselves in a position to tie the game, and in turn that turned into a 21-point run for Chicago at that point. But it's something that we're seeing a lot of, and a lot of people are talking about it, and a lot of the fans are getting to the point where they're getting a little bit of fed up with what we're seeing as far as the coach or as far as the refs are concerned, and that's something that's going to be there. and we're not going to be able to answer.
I would like to challenge Mr. Loving when he's saying everything is reviewed, because explain to me how you still don't know where to spot the ball at if the ball kicked out of kicked into the stands. I mean, first time it's the 20, second time it's the 25-yard line, and it changed in every game you watch. I mean, they may put it on a 20, they may put it on a 25. It's just, I mean, simple stuff like that is not consistent. And, you know, there's no way you can be talking and having conference calls and still having those little small minor issues like that happen.
What do you think they should do about Cedar Rapids and their ceiling?
Nothing. That's a house rule. It's a house rule. They came up with it themselves. I mean, that's the rule, you live there. Now, they're supposed to be moving next year to a bigger arena, and, you know, hopefully you don't have that problem anymore. So, right now,
that's the house rule.
I mean,
or is that what... So the complaints about that one, I mean, there was a game where they lost the game at home because of the ceiling, the kick. I can't remember what game. I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about, where a bunch of them went up into the ceiling and the Titans ended up losing that game. But what you're saying, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that's a house rule that was made by them, that the judgment call from the referees will say whether or not it was going to go through or not?
Yep. Absolutely. Now, that's my understanding, because I got there in between, got there during the season.
Right.
So the home game has already been played. They even had a preseason game last year. So my first game, it was, hey, if it hit the Raptors in the middle, it's a judgment call by the white hat. He can call it, oh, that would have been good, or, I mean, we got burnt on it. We got burnt on it on our own kicker then. I mean, kicker hit a Raptors. I thought it was good. They ruled incomplete. I mean, no good. So,
right.
I, what you going to do? You can argue. That was the rules going into it. There's nothing you can do about it. Now, if they change it to anything, hit the upright, hit the ceiling, hit the Raptors, it's no good. Then it's not a judgment call. You can just look and see, oh, yeah, that hit is no good. So,
right.
I don't know if they changed it. I don't know if they were going to, even thought about doing it. They have two more games, I think, at home. I might be wrong on that. They may have one or two, but and plus playoffs if they make it. So,
right.
They only have to deal with it that many times. So I would hate for it to be a – championship game in Cedar Rapids and the ceiling come and play because of that rule, or someone lose because of that rule. That would be, that would be heartbreaking to the season to come down to a judgment call by the white hat.
Yeah, and we know the group will get lit up if something like that ends up happening. That's going to be, oh, man, we will have comments after comments and things of that.
Oh, yeah.
But in the group, we've been talking a lot this week. But before we go back to the group, let's talk about the other games that we saw. The Storm, how they just got handled by the Titans at home. That was a game. I actually sat down and I watched all of that game. I didn't even fast forward it. Usually the play-by-play guy was really, really bad, but they had a different guy in there this time. So it was a pretty good call. But the Storm, wow, they showed that they can be beat, and not only that, they can be manhandled in reality.
They had opportunity to jump out on top of them too early.
Yep.
And couldn't get it done. And I called out the Titans defense last week, and
yeah.
I'm serious. I'm proud to see. Hey, they stepped up. They showed out. I was like, the two games they lost or whatever, just way too many points given up. Man, they played lights out. I give them all the credit for bouncing back and, you know, feeding off the crowd, crazy crowd, another sellout at Cedar Rapids. I mean, they got it going. If they can play that way on the road, which is very tough to do, they're one of the best teams in the league. And I can see them coming out, you know, of the intense conference.
Yep, depending on how it goes, I mean, they, you know, they're on the road quite a bit for the rest of the year. Like I said, I think there's three more games for them, and two of them are on the road. So,
They have four left, three on the road.
Ooh.
Three in a row on the road. They go to Green Bay this week, and then Sioux Falls, and then Wyoming, I want to say.
Yeah. Wow. Tough road to hoe, but you're right. A lot of tackles for losses in that game. I saw three of them or four of them in that game, and let's see, one, two, three. Yep, there were four tackles for loss. Sacks, a couple sacks on there, but it's more the fact of what you saw. You know, as far as what happened after someone caught the ball, I think is really huge in that. And I say that because if you look at the stats, Tyler Knight had 8 tackles. And five,
mm-hmm.
And out of those, he's doing a lot of tackling. That means they're completing the pass. So what they're doing is they're playing really good in the secondary, preventing the first downs. And that's what happened in that game. You saw good fundamental football. I mean, you know, who cares if they get 9 yards? If they're going, if they have to get 10 and they only get 9, who cares that they got the 9? You made the stop. That's what we saw in the Titans. I thought that was a really, really good game that, as far as that was concerned. But we did not see the Sioux Falls that maybe some people might thought we had. We also saw Martellus Young in that game as well. Do you know why he was in the game, you know, passing the football?
Did you see Bryant?
Yeah. So you're saying he got pulled because of
the
9 of 22 is kind of tough, you know, only 65 yards. I get why he was pulled, but I thought maybe there was something more to it besides than just bad play.
I bet Riggs was thinking
getting blown out.
Martavius could make a couple of plays with his legs.
Yep.
They was really rushing at a point of attack. Cedar Rapids D-line. You know, you bring in a running quarterback and it can change up some pace and give them some spark. But, the Titans was all over that. Shout out to Tuff again. He had interception in that game. Made a difference right away. I think he's the only one to say he beat Sioux Falls twice in one season.
At least for
I mean, Walton DeAndre, I call his name out most of the time. Simmons, they got some players now that Titans got a good team. Don't get me wrong. They're going to have players. They got weapons on offense. Two leading rushers and Charles, who's playing a hell of a lot better than what started off. I mean, that's a key. He coming off an injury, so he had a couple of games, and no one really give him that pass because he's supposed to be a veteran. So it's probably unjust, but, you know, he's coming along. He's balling. LaRon Counsell, then we already know about the receiving corps. So,
yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got a squad. They rolling, and they're very tough at home. They are very tough at home.
Sioux Falls went and improved themselves. Say what you want, Stuart Franks. I heard that when I put in there that it was a big loss at the beginning of the year. They didn't let him go, and they didn't sign him, and now they re-signed him. They were saying, oh, he doesn't hit that hard. Brian Prey, love you, Brian. He doesn't hit that. I'm going to tell you right now, Stuart Franks put some metal on people. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen it. And they also get Clinton Sammons as well back on that football team. So they're bringing back familiar faces to that football team in order to maybe gain what they are kind of used to. I mean, this is this is a season we are looking, and we're talking about the Sioux Falls Storm. I mean, this team didn't lose any game for 2 years, okay? We got, and the fact that they have lost four games this season is completely baffling. It just goes to show what one good player such as a Chris Dixon can bring to your football team and what kind of dynamic that he brought to that football team. But it wasn't just Dixon, but at the same time, you can see a big part of it was.
Yeah. I mean, they missing them, but, I mean, they was banged up for this game, too. Not to make any excuses, because they had a chance to get on top of Titan, and Titan wasn't, you know, they wasn't going for it. So,
nope.
I think the running back was hurt this game, Harrison.
Yes.
I believe he was
hurt.
No.
I think he played. Hold on. If I'm not mistaken, I thought he was unless I'm saying, because I watched two Storm games over this past weekend. Let me take a look and see the stats for that game where they were at. Hold on. There it is. The rushing. Actually, you were right. They did a whole bunch of players. So I watched two games, so I must remember the big game he had the time before that. We saw Young in there rushing the football, but it was Andre Crenshaw that was doing the rushing, 9 for 51 yards. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Crenshaw used to play with the Titans. He came and the Storm, but he came back and played.
Yep.
That was his first game back. Not to make any excuses. I mean, Titans really kicked their butts, kind of like the butt kicking they did. They gave to Chicago when Chicago scored only 12 points in their house. So,
yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, that hats off to them.
It is what it is, especially during this game. So some other things that are going on in the Indoor Football League Players Meet Fans group. We were talking about some of the things this week, and one of the things, Pat Pimble put something in the group that was interesting, because if you think of, or if you understand what he's dealing with, he's at the Arena League now, and he's talking about the DS position in arena ball is one of the toughest spots to play, and he says, my question, which IFL DB can play there and dominate? Why don't you see? I understand what it is, but you could probably explain the position that Pat Pimble's talking about a little bit better than I can.
Let's see how the best way to describe it. It's the safety that can, you have to be able to cover, and you have to be able to play down. The best way to describe it is like a strong safety, cover two, playing the invert safety. It's I don't know. I mean, it's a hybrid safety, I would like to call it.
That's what I was going to say, but I thought maybe there was a different way of stating it. A hybrid safety, taking care of two positions,
someone
and being able to recognize it, I think, is huge.
Yeah, well, someone who's physical and still have the hips and speed to cover one of the slot receivers, I guess you would say the outside linebacker in the 11-11 game, how they have to be so dynamic in today's game and covering the backside of the backfield, but yet strong enough to stop the run and jam and redirect receivers. So,
got it.
That's what he's kind of looking for.
Yep.
I like
Singleton is from the Fever, and 636. We'll get to you in a second. Just hold on one moment. I like but I like that guy. I know it's stupid to pick a guy that's not going to be on a winning team as the defensive player of the year, but boy, I like Singleton. That guy is good.
Yeah, he's a ball hawk. I mean, he's a player. I don't take anything away from him. I just thought, you know, my boy was Tyler Knight was playing.
Yeah.
Had a better first half of the season. That's all.
Yep.
Nothing to take away from Singleton, anything like that. He's up there in interceptions. He's always around the ball. You know, he's a good player, Singleton. And he's big, he's physical, and he's fast. That's the type of player that Coach P was kind of referencing and looking
yep.
for playing that position on the next level. But I'm telling you, you just can't make the jump from IFL to AFL and just be okay and be mediocre and just be along with those guys. You have to go there and be the best one out there. I mean,
yep.
it's just like going to the NFL from the AFL or NFL from the undrafted free agent. You just can't be just as good as those guys. You have to be better than those guys that's already there. You know, if you're just as good, they don't need to pay you. They don't need you.
Yep.
If you're just as good, they don't need you. You got to be better than them when you make that move up, when you try to take someone else's spot. Even in the IFL, if you're not dressing every week, you know, you got to show the coaches you can't be denied. There's no way we cannot dress you this week.
Yep.
You balled out. You know your responsibilities. And some people just say, yeah, I played with them guys, or I'm just as good as he. And, you know, in practice I had 2 catches. You know, you have to dominate. You have to dominate. And that's what they
look
for. You got
to be a guy that's going to step out. You got to be the guy that when the coaches walk off the field, they're going to say, man, I can't believe that guy. I cannot believe what he did on the football field. And then you got to do it the next day. And then you got to make it to where they got to say, hey, we got to have this guy on the football
yep.
field at all times. So that
yep,
exactly. Let's hit this.
I tell my graduating seniors all the time. It's like, okay, you're going off to college. How are you going to get that coach to remember your name?
Yep.
They know they recruited you and they did all this stuff, but once they have you, they looking at their football team, and, hey, who's that freshman? Oh, that's that freshman from St. Louis.
Yep.
How are you going to get him to remember your name?
Yep.
And it's not just that you're the coach that recruited you, all the coaches. Like, man, that Sonny Clark is a, man, he's a mean son of a, you know, they got to know who you are.
Yep.
How you going to do it? And you do it by making plays.
Definitely. Let's hit the 636. Let's bring him in. Let us know who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Wait, whoa. Slatty, you know what that is?
No, I don't. The 636, I couldn't tell the voice. Is that Pat Pepper?
Wait a minute. Let me introduce him.
Go ahead, introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Coach Project Pat Pimmel.
Pat Pimmel. Pat, good to talk to you again. And, hey, I'll tell you this. I missed the guy in Allen. Of course, you know, I'm the king of finding all the Allen players and coaches, and I bring them up to speed. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing good, man. You know, I listen to your show every week. You guys do a great job, and you know, I still follow the IFL real close, and, you know, just want to call and say hi.
Definitely. Pat Pimmel, I'll put this out here for folks that don't know. Pat Pimmel, if you ask him a yes or no question, you're going to get a yes or no answer. He's not going to elaborate. He's going to answer yes or no. And that's one thing I learned very quickly with Pat when he was down here in Allen. So you're beginning to pick it up over there with Orlando. How is it coaching? And I'm glad you called in because I wanted to ask you this. Plank, this guy is an amazing guy, good coach. How is it coaching with Doug Plank?
Oh, Doug Plank is just an incredible human being. Everybody knows the 46 defense is named after him. And
yep.
He was a motivator. Players play hard for him. You know, we got a coach, Kelvin Kenny, big arena, you know, probably going to Hall of Fame in arena football. And, you know, just a different game, but great coaching. It's just a lot of fun.
Go ahead, Corey.
Sonny, let's stop talking about the AFL. This is IFL talk, man.
Yeah.
This is IFL talk. We don't want to talk about them.
What happened last week then? Last week that you saw on the football field that maybe raised an eyebrow for you, then you were like, wow, I can't believe I saw that.
What are you talking about?
What happened last week in the IFL, since I'm not allowed to ask you AFL question because we're on IFL talk, what did you see in the IFL that raised the eyebrows a little bit as you were watching the games this week, or did you get time?
You know, when I was with Coach Bethany, we always said, you got to win the third quarter and you got to finish your fourth. And I felt people in the IFL and people, you know, Spokane did it too. You got to win the third quarter. Third quarter is so much bigger than people think. And, you know, we were forcing up this last weekend to win the third quarter and finish the fourth. But, you know, you got to do that. And I think that's overrated or underrated that you got to finish it. And, you know, I'm a big Nebraska Danger fan. Everybody knows that. But they didn't do well in the third quarter, and I felt that cost them the game.
Well, definitely last play of the week call, you know, definitely cost them the game. What did you spot that, you know, that you saw and you were like in a very positive sense when you looked at it and said, man, watch out for this?
With the Nebraska game, I would say that, you know, when I coached Corey and, you know, even Coach Davis, at halftime, you know, when we're winning, you know, we always say, hey, they're going to make these adjustments. What do I do from here? And I think it's a communication thing that we, you know Green Bay is going to make adjustments at halftime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then so I felt that, you know, maybe I'm not saying I'm bad about Coach Davis because he's my guy, but I felt like the communication. I mean, here I would always go to Coach Davis and say, if you were them, what would you do? I'd go to Corey. If you were them, what would you do to stop this? And what am I going to counter that? And I don't think that Nebraska did a good job of that.
Corey,
go ahead. Was up two scores, right? Right? They up two scores at halftime?
They were. It was like 26. Then they had a chance to run the ball out at the end of the half. Because I watched it on BitSwap. They had a chance to Green Bay scored late in the half. They had a chance to run the ball out and go to halftime two scores up. But for some reason, they weren't able to do that. And I don't know, you know, what happened there, but I just felt that, you know, it kind of cost them.
What do you think about the talent level being played in the IFL right now? Like the boys at Nebraska, the boys in Titans, Cedar Rapids. I mean, there are some good talent on those teams now. You know, and then they showing. I mean, even Colorado. Let's not leave Colorado out because you know they doing what they have to do over there. But what do you think about the talent now? The talent level now with just only 9 teams, and how they go ahead.
I think the IFL is great. I think you have a lot of talent. I think in the AFL here, I think that it's a different game. You know, you run different routes and. So for a kid from the IFL to come into the AFL, you know, they got to know the game. I mean, we're a 2-5 team, so we can't bring nobody. You know, we only got 24 on our roster. We can't bring nobody in to groom them, you know. We got to get guys to play right now. And that's why I think you see so many veterans in the AFL because they know the game. The IFL guys, they're great and talented, but, you know, you got to come in here and make a difference. Like right now, or you know, you're probably not going to stay. You know, other than the portion there. IFL players need to get in camps with AFL teams where they can groom them for a couple of weeks, and then you see what you got.
But they can't, though, because of the rules set in the IFL that, you know, if you sign or even talk to AFL pretty much, you can't play for the whole year. I mean, you think that relationship will ever iron itself out, the AFL-IFL relationship that they have, will they ever work with each other and do what's best for these young men trying to pursue their dreams?
I don't think that. I think there's two different games. So I think that, you know, the IFL, you know, even though already AFL, either one don't matter. I think they've got to go to the same rules. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a true outdoor game brought inside in the IFL. You're talking about the AFL is a true game. It's AFL football. You know, we didn't have all these different protections and cutting people, you know, with zone read. We don't have running quarterbacks and stuff here, you know. And I think that, you know, I mean, there's guys in the NFL. I mean, I first one brings out is Carl Sims. Carl Sims is fresh field right now.
Right.
You know, I talked to Frankie a couple of days ago, Frankie Solomon. You know, I think he could play here. You know, he played one of our old linemen, Devin Clark. You know, he said, yeah, he can play here, but we don't have the time to, you know, two-day waiver. We ain't got the time to teach them a whole new defense. So you got to have some experience. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
Well, I think what Corey was talking about as well, I think with the combination of it not being the same game, I think they're just two different mindsets from the leagues, and a lot of it has to do with the rules. But right now, the AFL is, you know, they're fighting the battle of bad pub. And I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Art Clarkston and a couple other people. Is that negativity that is going up in Chicago, how's that affecting the league right there? And how do you think it would affect the – how does it affect the IFL, even though you guys are not the same product?
Well, we don't play Chicago, so I haven't really gotten involved with – what's going on. I heard stories, but I think they'll be fine. The Chicago Rush have been around for years. They'll be fine. I do believe that the AFL is a completely different game. So when we bring guys into the IFL, and I love the IFL, I follow you guys every week, Sonny, you know, I mean, Corey, you know, I love the IFL. I mean, that's where I got my start. But it's so hard for these kids to get up here and play. That's what's tough about it. You know, so I think, I mean, my personal feeling is either the Arena One, who's been around for 30 years or what have you, needs to go to IFL rules, or IFL needs to go to Arena rules, and then you'll get players that can move up. That's what I really believe.
See, and I think that's interesting. I don't think they do it because of the with lack of a better word, okay, Pat, egos of both of the leagues. I mean, they think differently. And it seems like they don't even want to be in association with each other.
I kind of disagree with that. You know, in some points I disagree. Some points I understand why you guys feel that way, to be honest with you. I do believe that, you know, we got, you know, different routes. Everything's different. It's such a different game that why would you, you know, take like a kid playing cover two all of life and try to put him in man coverage? I mean, that's why I put that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Play in the AFL. That's a hard position, man. That's the hardest position I've ever seen in my life. It's tough. Who could really do that? I don't know in the IFL who could.
It'd be interesting. So since we have had offensive coordinator for the Orlando Predators and also a veteran of the IFL game, let's talk about the games this weekend. You got time, Pat? Can you stay with us for the next 15 minutes?
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
All right, let's talk about the games that are coming up this week. We got the Danger on the road to take on the Calgary, and this is the only victory the Calgary have is against the Nebraska Danger. Nebraska Danger on the road. We talked about it. Only 23% of road teams are winning games on the road. The Danger and Calgary, what are you taking a look at in that, Pat?
Well, You know, Wyoming's going to play a good game. They're going to test. Danger can't play in the road very well. They should be able to. They got the talent. They should win this thing. They should be in the championship game. There's no doubt. I mean, I love Coach Davis. He's got a team. You know, nothing personal, but me and Corey recruited for him. No, I'm joking. He's got a team. He's got a team. He should win the whole thing. However, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do on the road. Bunch of great kids, but you know, I gotta say, you know, they gotta win this game. If they don't win this game, you know, Coach Davis might be in some trouble. That's how I feel about that.
I think we figured it out, Corey. Three road victories in 2 years. Very important game for this football team. Not only to get off the funk of the road, but to let people know that you go out and you're supposed to bury a Calgary team. And that's what I think we need to see so people can realize that these are really the Nebraska Danger. This is a good football team. I think they need to go out there and they need to – this is a statement game on the road that the Danger need. I think they do it against the Calvary. What do you think?
Only 10 – out of the 44 games played this year, 10 of them, only 10 wins on the road. Four of them came against Wyoming. They should win.
Right.
Okay? What I'm going to look for in this game, not just only win, like you said, they should dominate, but I'm going to look at third quarter adjustments. I want to see them shut them out in the third quarter and score some points in the third quarter. They didn't score in the third quarter last game, I think. So that's, you know, the games like this, you got to play with a purpose. You got to, there's a reason why, you know, these, you got to find those little things, those fine things you got to get better at and show that you can prove that in this upcoming game, a game that you should win and a game you should, I mean, you outmatch them by talent just walking through the building. So, you know, those are the things I'd be looking for.
It should be close. I mean, Davis, you know, Davis is a good guy, good coach. I mean, they got the talent. You know, and Corey, you know, when you, me and you were together for years, you know, we always said we got to win the third and finish the fourth. Danger's got to learn how to win the third quarter. If the Danger learns how to win the third quarter, their record on the road would be so much better.
Yep. I think a classic example, the Green Bay Blizzard, the game last week, Green Bay outscored them in the third quarter 14-3. And so very good points in as far as what they need to do in the third quarter as well. Let's hit the next game where the Fever are on the road, a hot Fever team as well, folks, okay? This is a Fever team that they've won three games in a row, and they want to keep fighting the battle over in the United Conference. They're on the road to play the Colorado Ice. The Colorado Ice coming off the bye, that's the huge thing there, Corey. What do you think about the game, the Fever and the Ice?
Man, this is my game of the week.
I agree with you.
This is the most intriguing game. I think my game of the week is later, but this is the most intriguing game. I think it's tough to call. This one is very tough to call. Who's at home?
The Ice are at home. The Fever are on the road.
Well, I mean, I just got to go with the trend. give me Colorado. But then also the trend is teams coming off bye weeks.
Right.
So give me – I'll take the Ice. I'll take the Ice.
Pat, what do you think about this game?
I mean, probably two of the best coaches, you know. They're going head-to-head. I mean, you know, in Colorado, one thing about Colorado, you know, they treat their visiting teams well. I mean, when we went there, Corey, I mean, they treated us well. We had a 26-hour bus ride. But I don't know, man. Coach Sheck, man, I don't know. I mean, Coach O'Neill's a good coach. Coach Sheck's a good coach. I think it's going to come down to quarterback play. And whoever's the best quarterback's going to win the game.
Well, Willie Copeland, baby.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what could end up happening there, because, you know, I like what we're seeing in Warren as well at the quarterback position for the Fever. I'm going to take the upset. I'm going to take the upset, because then with the upset win here, it's really going to make the Intense Conference a very interesting division, especially if Nebraska wins. So I'm going to go with it. I'm going to take the Fever. I'm going to take a road team. I picked all road teams last week and only got one victory, so I should really watch how much I do of that. The Titans on the road to take on the Green Bay Blizzard. This is a totally different Green Bay Blizzard team. If you watch the tape of the first 5 weeks of this football season, you're watching the wrong football team. It's a totally different football team. I like what the Blizzards are doing, and this is that now it goes to the fact that the road teams are who they are and what they're doing. Green Bay is not the – if they were the same team that we saw before Coach Fuller was given the axe up there, I would pick the Titans. I'm not picking against the Blizzard right now. They got the luck. They got the new fired up new coaching there. Pat, what do you think about the Titans and the Blizzard?
Well, you know, number one, Coach Fuller, like, he's such a nice guy that I hate him. You know, I mean, he's just a great. He's not even done wrong, you know. But I don't know, man. I Coach Ponder, you know, he was Troy Aikman's backup. You know, Coach Ponder scores points. Coach Ponder scores points, and I don't know.
That's because he's a Dallas Cowboy.
That's what they say. What I will say is that with Tuff Johnson out there, you know, and the arena coaches there now, I don't know his name, I think Tuff brings a different dimension and play a lot more zone. I probably got to go with Cedar Rapids, you know, with Tuff. You know, Tuff's my guy. Everybody knows that. But I think they changed some stuff. Well, defensively, you know they're going to score points. Ponder's going to score points.
Yeah.
Tuff on that team. I got to go with Cedar Rapids.
You got Nutt on that team, too. Wallner. LeAndre on there.
Oh, yeah. Wallner Nutt? Oh, yeah. Well, he can play.
Yeah. He's on there. You know, Xavier and Posey.
Yeah. Guys, we coach. You know what I mean? Xavier's going to do his deal. I mean, I know, Sonny, you've been down on Xavier Jackson, you know. But you don't know how they, you know, I mean, what we don't know is what they're doing defensively to, or offensively to block them, you know. I mean, Posey, I mean, I don't know, man. I kind of like Steve Rapp, but I respect Chris Collins a lot. He's done wonderful things. Yeah, he's really, you know, he's been in this fight for a long time, man. The rewards are coming to him. Coach Finder's going to score points. I think with Tough there on defense, the coach will listen to him and learn how to play the game. Ain't nobody knows the defense that I felt like that's going to happen. So I'm going to go with Steve Rapp without my mind.
Corey.
I don't think I can pick against Cedar Rapids after they whooped on Sioux Falls like that last week. And let me tell you something. From here on out, I'll probably just pick the Titans because I'm getting the vibe that they think I'm hating on them for some reason. Like, seriously, they think I don't like them for some reason. I don't know. But, I got something bad to say against them. I did not return to them, but there's other reasons for that. You know, maybe I'll share with that later once the season is kind of dwindling down. But I'm going to go with the Titans because I hate to give them the feeling that I hate them. So I'm gonna pick the Titans to beat the Blizzard.
Corey, I'd say right now, if they had made you DC for the Titans, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Well, that's true. Hey, and the reason why, and I'm going to give Brian Prey a lot to talk about here in the next week up to the game. My question is are they in their own heads? And I say that because you're talking about the talents on this football team, and you guys named them off. I don't need to name them off. You did forget Carl Sims. But anyway, take away from that. These guys are good. These guys are good. I'd say they got the best personnel on the football field. They're not putting it together. They're in their own heads, I wonder. And that's what I wonder about this team when they take the field, especially when they're on the road. So that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of going with the Titans. Are they in their own head, or, you know, are they going to go out there and play balls to the wall and win the football game? So that we'll find that out this week because this Blizzard team is a tough, tough football team to play. So now we got the Chicago Slaughter get the Storm again. This is now the Slaughter beat the Storm in their own building. Now the Slaughter's on the road. You know, I saw Chicago. The Revs, they got the butts beat. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Chicago Slaughters are not going to beat the Storm at home. This is just a game I don't think they're capable of winning because they don't play a full four quarters. That's a classic of what you're talking about as far as that's concerned. And if you do it against the Storm after they just got their asses handed to them by Colorado, this one's going to be a tough one for the Slaughter to win, Pat.
Well, you know, I'm going to go with Coach Davis. One thing about this is Chicago – it might not start well, but they're screaming at the end of the race.
Yes, they are.
And so, you know, right now, I don't know what happened to Sioux Falls last weekend, you know. I mean, I really don't. But I don't know, you know. I think, you know, I don't know if they got the talent they used to have. I don't know the parity or everybody else has got as much talent as them. But, you know, Chicago, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm going to go, if Chicago's home, I got to go with Chicago. And I hate to say because I think,
No, Chicago's on the road.
Yeah, Sioux Falls at home.
Oh, you can't win at Sioux Falls. No, you can't win. They got 10 players on the field. They got the officials and the team. So you can't win.
Man, you sound like conspiracy couch right there. So to have two extra men on the field for the Sioux Falls Storm. All right, very good. What do you think, Corey, when you're looking at this game?
Like my buddy used to always say, pick the gray horse. And I think Sioux Falls is coming out in their gray unis probably this weekend. So how many uniforms do they have, by the way? I
don't know,
geez.
But they're hard as hell to see if you're trying to call
and
the
they
game
got, like,
via
they,
the
they,
media
I swear
feed.
They got maybe them and Omaha Beef is probably the most uniforms anybody owns.
I think they do it on purpose so you can't tell who tackled you. You can't plan for them. But they're a darn good football team. And I don't know. I just don't want to be the team that has to handle the storm after they got their butts handed to them as much as they did by the Titans. So I think they're probably going to be pretty mad. I think they're going to be at home. I think it's going to be. I think the slaughter may just get slaughtered up there. It's going to be that way. And so let's go to, you know, Coach Pimmel put the thumbs up on your rankings as far as power rankings this week. Coach Pimmel, what did you see in Corey's power rankings that made you want to give him the thumbs up on it? Because I kind of looked at it and I was like, well, you know, I think I'd switch a couple of these around. What did you like about his rankings?
Oh, you know, I he's a student of the game. You know, he loves the game. He knows the game. He's a great coach. I mean, really, I mean, he knows what he's doing. I kind of agreed with the rankings. You know, I really did. I think that teams are winning, supposed to be winning. You know, I think Nebraska, I love Nebraska. That's my team. I mean, but if they don't got the whole home field advantage, they ain't got nothing in the playoffs. Colorado's doing what they do. O'Neal's a great coach. I don't know. I think there's a dark horse there somewhere, and I think it's Tri-Cities. I really do believe that. I think Shepherd's that good. I think he'll do what it takes to win, and I expect to see them. I think Green Bay's happy. They got a different coach and this and this and this, but I think that'll play itself out. So I agree with – I actually agree with his ratings overall.
I wanted to move the Storm up to third and maybe drop Cedar Rapids to fourth and maybe move Chicago to fifth.
Yes.
Why?
I just don't look at one game. I know they got their asses handed to them. I know, Corey.
No.
But I just don't
look
at one game.
You just said Cedar Rapids got some players. We named them all.
Yes.
We named them all. The best two teams in the league is really Nebraska and Cedar Rapids. Now, do they play that way? Do they play that way week in, week out? No, they don't. But they're the best two talented teams. I'm not playing any games. I don't care. Those are the best two team talent-wise in the league, period.
Right. Yep, I agree.
I just want to move them to third.
Then you have that argument. I mean, that Sioux Falls. I don't know. It was. I can't deny what Titans done to teams. They make them look bad. You talking about convincing wins? They had two of those against Chicago and Sioux Falls. Granted, they're at home, but they beat them. They beat their ass. It's like Colorado had a win like that over the Danger when they only scored 12. They beat them up.
Right.
You know, so those are wins, quality good wins against good teams. Those,
definitely.
You can't deny that. You can't deny that.
And there's some things that are not put out on the field that I like to look at. I like to look at coaching. I like to see. And another thing, as we're moving toward the end of the season, this is where we're going to see the big boys play. I mean, right now, we're going to find out if Colorado, the Titans, the Danger, and the Slaughter, especially the Slaughter, see if they're for real. And as well as the Storm, if they're going to pick up, they've got four losses on the season. Hell, they haven't lost four games in 4 years, I think. So, you know, this is definitely a different season for them. This is the time for the big boys to step up. And I look at experience and I look at the team. I see some of the guys that they added on for the Storm, and I like what I'm seeing. I just want to move them up. I'll move the Titans back just a tad until they get out of their own head. That's the only thing. As soon as they step, and I know they beat them up. I know they did, and I get it, and I understand it. But we also go to the point, at some point, that even though they beat the hell out of them, that game still was close for a while. So,
well, yeah, Sonny, that's why you're on Blog Radio, not the ESPN.
Absolutely. And that is the reason why I'm glad I'm on Blog Talk Radio, because I wouldn't be allowed to say that on ESPN. I'd have Stephen A. Smith going down, going, "Are you kidding me?"
Is LeBron in the lineup? Oh, no, this football. Sorry. Yeah, that's what we'd have. So,
Johnny, what do you think about Texas, man? What do you think about the Revolution? You know, they're talking they were going to beat Nebraska. They should have won by 21 points, and I ain't heard from them since. I mean,
well,
what's going on? I love it. Oh.
I will say this. I'm going to pick them all year long because obviously I'm there. But here's one thing. There's three games where, and I was talking to Corey about this, and we're going to go into overtime. Don't worry about that. We can go into overtime. I was talking to Corey about this as far as the CFL tryouts. And that in the game where they got beat up by the Blizzard, they had three of their defensive starters at CFL training camps. And that's a killer when you've got three starters on your defense, not in the football game.
Well,
never mind, you're on the road. And, you know.
Let me ask you this. Were they really at CFL training camp, or did they pay $50 for a tryout? That's the difference.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the details of that part. I just only go by what I'm told. So that you're making a valid point there. But here's an interesting thing with these CFL things. You know, I let Darius Fudge know about there was one down in Georgia, right down the street from him, actually. I don't know if he ever went to it because of the situation, but we don't see Darius Fudge out on a football field. I thought he was playing with the Wild. Does anybody know where Fudge is?
Yeah, I talked to him last week. He's not, he's not 100% healthy. I mean, he can play right now. He can play and still be a stud, but. You know, Darius makes a lot of money. I mean, Darius is a professional. He's got his degree. He does great things. He don't need football. Football's fun for him. And I think that maybe he took this year off just to concentrate on his business. But
got
great
it.
Player.
Oh, yeah.
He's D-Rose in it.
He's what?
He's D-Rose. He's acting like D-Rose, you know. He can play, but he'd rather sit out.
Right, yeah, he's betting them black chips on the casino, you know, looking at them on Facebook.
Oh, you got to love it, man. I love Coach Pimmel for joining us here today. Good stuff. Anything else you want to hit before we're out of here, Corey? I'll go to Pat first since he's our guest. Anything you want to bring up before we're out of here?
No, I just want to say, you know, I'm a part of the NFL. I think it's great. I think it's a fun league. I think it's awesome. I love my time in Dallas. I mean, or Allen or whatever it is. I wish Coach Beck the best. I mean, you couldn't be in a better situation. Tommy's there. I mean, it's good. I want them to win. I always want teams to win. But you know what? I'm going to go with Coach Davis, man. I think he might, you know, pull something out of his hat and win this thing this year. I mean, Davis and Ponder, it's a matchup made in heaven. Davis and Ponder in the championship, both were at Grand Island.
Oh.
It's a story, but, like, we can do a documentary on that shit.
Hey, I'm telling you, hey, Pat, I mention it all the time. That is my dream championship to see Cedar Rapids and Nebraska playing. I don't care where they play. They can play, they can play at Fonder Park out in the middle of the horse races. We probably have to do a show every night, Sonny. Just all the stories that Pat and I can share.
Yeah, we can probably set up a whole year of week shows for a whole year and still go into the next year, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You guys have a great show. You do a wonderful job. I listen to it every week. I just want to call in tonight, you know, let you know, man, I'm very big fans of NFL, very big fans of you guys. And, you know, we'll see how it all plays out, man. It's a lot of fun.
He's Coach Pimmel. Thanks for yeah, definitely. We appreciate Coach Pimmel getting on. Folks, don't forget about the Indoor Football League Players Meet Fans Group. It's over on Facebook. I set it up for that reason. We talk only football. We only talk IFL football, too. We'll throw in, if a player goes to a different league, we'll make mention of it. But we kind of keep our eyes and ears open just for the IFL. I love the league, and that's the reason why I set it up. And so make sure you get on over there and join us here on normally Tuesday nights. We were having some technical difficulties last night that made the show not get up, but we're up here tonight. But next Tuesday, we'll be up on air. Hey, now, hold on, Corey, before we get out of here, since we're already in overtime and it won't matter, let's go to the, just real quick, to the transaction page, because there was a guy, this Kane Ellenberg, that the Danger get back after the injury that he had. You want to talk about a guy that has stepped up and said, hey, you're not going to forget about me? Kane Ellenberg from the Nebraska Danger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he made the most of his opportunities.
Exactly, heck, yes.
You know, exactly what you want a player to do. So, that defense, that secondary didn't look the same with Pig missing, with Tough gone, and Ellenberg, he wasn't in. You know, it didn't look the same. It really didn't. So, you know, maybe that's the transaction, that's the move that Coach Davis had to do, and he made it.
Yep. Colorado, Greg Jackson has been released. I think he got hurt. I don't think they're releasing him from the team. I think he got hurt. How's that effect going into this week? I like Jackson. This is a good linebacker right there.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't having the year that he had. He was player of the week a couple of times this year, but
yep.
You know, last year he had a phenomenal season. You know, he might have got hurt. I'm not sure. It's kind of weird releasing him during a bye week, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, yeah, Colorado's playing this week, so he's not going to be in the game this week. So that's an interesting thing.
They released him, you know, over a bye week. They didn't play last week, so if he got hurt.
They just released him yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't play a game. So it was a bye week, and he still got released. So I don't know.
Yeah, so he's kind of wondering about the
injury related. That's what I'm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Maurice Simpkins. I know he's hurt, so that part, that's the reason why he's Maurice Simpkins out for Nebraska, and they bring back Kane to cover that spot. So that's Kane was hurt as well. So those are the notable releases and signings that are going on in the IFL. Let's see here. John Cooper was released from the Chicago Slaughters. Mike, I don't have my glasses on. Mike Thornton. I don't know who this guy. Do you know anything about him by any chance?
Mike who?
Mike Thornton.
No.
No, I'm not sure who he is. It's a DB, 5'10", out of Southern Illinois University. That makes sense. It's Chicago. They got a bunch of Chicago players up there. But that's your transactions for this week. I like to get those in. And then we get today's releases in for today, since we did an extra day. So we did it again. We went through it, went over an hour. And that's not a big deal. That's a good thing. So we'll be doing this next week.
Next Tuesday. Hey, I appreciate Pat calling in and saying all the kind words. Everybody that don't know me and Pat are boys. But I appreciate him doing that for me.
Yeah, I'm glad he joined us. He gave us an extra dimension here on the show. So I love the fact. I always like Pat, especially.
So you can give him one
bigger. Yeah, say again?
So do me one favor. Go over to Chaucer's there in Allen Plaza and get some spicy tuna. It's the best.
Hey, speaking of that, I mean, since we got two of the guys that I was introduced to indoor football, what are we hearing about Coach Carl? Is he doing the defense over in Wyoming?
No, he's not.
Oh, Coach who?
Coach Carl.
Carl, your boy.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, boy, Cairo, man. No, he's not. He's not over there. But he took a year off. He's in.
Yeah, I got another.
With his...
Hey, Coach Buckley, I got another IFL coach with me now. Down here, you know that Coach Maton's from Wichita Wild. He's down here doing special teams and offensive line.
Wow. Yeah.
Tell him to call me if you need any pointers on that special team kickoff return. You know,
well,
I'm
last week.
Hey. Bring that up to him and see what his reaction is.
and
last thing I got to say, and I know it sounds smart, but, you know, Texas Sunday, that's your team, great city, great arena. But I heard that they said they moved past the Tuff Johnson era. We moved past Tuff Johnson era, okay? All I got to say is, how's that working out for them? That's all I want to say. It is not personal. How's that working out for y'all?
And that is Coach Pat. By the way, Dixie Wooten, head coach down in the Lone Star Football League. He got a head coaching gig down there. That's very good for him. Coach Dixie Wooten. Yeah, I know. So give him some props. So. Yeah, Coach Wooten. Dixie Wooten, yes.
Yeah, good for him.
You betcha. All right, that's going to do it here for IFL Talk here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. I'd like to thank, again, Coach Pat and then Corey as well. I am Sonny Clark, and I am the hardest working man in sports radio. We're out of here, everybody. Have a great night. We'll see you next Tuesday.